When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, live from Sin City, Las Vegas, NBA Summer League 2023. Gentlemen, we've been here for a few days. This city, as you know, over the course of time, it eats at your soul a little bit. How are we all feeling? We still got energy?
Hey, my soul is intact, Playboy. I'm good. My soul is good, even though I'm ready to go.
Mine was never here, so I'm fine.
You leave that baby at home?
It never came.
All right.
My wallet a little beat up, but I'm holding up. I'm all right.
Okay.
I mean, we're from New Orleans. It's basically the same.
Yeah.
It's like the West Coast version of New Orleans.
He's excited. There's no humidity.
Yeah, it's just less humidity. It's great for me.
He good.
No question. Guys, we're happy to be here. We're going to chop it up today on a bunch of different things. But front and center, as you know, it's funny if you look out this window to our right, and if you went to the right a little bit, there is a gigantic sphere that was looking like a basketball that was promoting the NBA's in-season tournament, which has been the news of the week. The NBA launched all the details this week, made a kind of big hullabaloo about it, wanted media to come out and sing the song of this new and invigorated way that they had to make regular season basketball matter. That wasn't quite their marketing pitch, but that is what we are talking about here. Let's jump in a little bit, and eventually we're going to talk a little Jordan Poole. Mr. Thompson, you went to his press conference.
I did.
You know, we got different storylines to get into, but just like the play-in tournament before it, we now got this new outside-the-box idea that the league is launching. Listen, play-in tournament had all kinds of skeptics, myself among them. Next thing you know, you have a lot of good games, and it works out mostly for the better to this point. This thing has more layers to it. This thing is potentially more problematic when it comes to, you know, trying to jam this into the middle of the regular season. Just quick, big picture thoughts on what they are trying to accomplish here and if it's going to get the job done.
I'm going to be a hater.
I don't like it.
Let's hear it.
It's not even that I don't like it. The play-in tournament I actually wasn't into, and I was totally completely wrong.
And this is Fred Katz, by the way. I didn't introduce anybody.
Yes.
Fred Katz.
Yes. And that's Marcus Thompson.
Yes.
And that's what
I thought. I was Fred.
Yeah.
Don't confuse the people.
This is an audio format. It's not going to work. The play-in tournament, like, I didn't like, but I understood why you could get into it. The reason I didn't like it is because I just didn't love the idea of a team with a worse record getting into the playoffs over a team with a better record just because they beat them one time at the end of the year. I was incorrect. It's really fun. The NBA made a great call doing it. I can't see why I or fans or anyone else should get into it. The players win money if they win.
$500,000.
If you win a title, you win the in-season tournament. I don't even know what we're going to call it. The NBA Cup, they say it is.
Yep.
You have $500,000 a player. Okay. That's why the players should care. For what it's worth, if you're on a max contract, I don't know if you even care about that because you're making $50 million a year to begin with, and that's not enough to move the needle for you
at
all.
Agreed.
But
Will lost that much this weekend.
See why you got to bring up old stuff.
But why should I care? Why should John in Iowa care? Like, why should the fans care? And I'm probably going to get a call from Tim.
Who'd you say? John?
John in Iowa.
Is that like the Joe from what was
Joe the Plumber?
Joe the Plumber.
He's Joe's cousin.
John from Iowa.
Why should Joe the Plumber care?
No, I think
he doesn't care anyway. I mean, you picked the one state with no team. That's great. Good job.
Well, that's the point. The point is getting John from Iowa into it, right?
Yeah. And I think what the play-in tournament is, I think ultimately the main reason the play-in tournament works is because single elimination basketball is always great. When it's win or go home, those games are always entertaining. Even if it's like the 10th and 11th seed in the West playing in that game, it's going to be fun to watch that game. But when we're talking about this in-season tournament where these guys are playing games throughout the regular season, where you're saying this game on Tuesday has more significance than this game on Thursday, then you got to be able to sell to fans, okay, why? Why should I care about this game more than that game? Why should these teams care about that game more than this game? And ultimately, I can understand where Adam Silver is coming from because he wants to kind of send the message that there's other stuff to play for than just the ring. I think what rings culture in the NBA is kind of more toxic than pretty much any other sport, where the only thing that matters is winning the ring. Nothing else matters. None of the regular season games matter. Even the conference finals don't matter. It's all about getting that ring. And I think he's pointed a lot to soccer culture in Europe, where teams can play for the Premier League, but they can also play for the FA Cup. They can play for the Champions League. You're competing for multiple trophies in one season, and every single game matters, even if you're competing for different things at the same time. But ultimately, if you're the Nuggets, if you're the Bucks, if you're the Warriors, why should you care about anything other than the title you win in June?
But see, to me, like, I get the idea based on, you know, Champions League and FA Cup. The difference here is, in those tournaments, there are other teams.
Yes.
You're playing the
different
same
teams.
Team you're going to play. Yeah, like, bring in some G League teams. Right. Fly in some teams from the Spanish AB League. Like, you need some other stuff in there. Now it matters, because now you get to see, you know, Steph Curry against this person, right? But to basically run it back against the same team, like, it's like, all right, well, we play the Kings three times, and then we got to play them again for this. Like, to me, I understand the point, but if you're going to do it, you got to do it. And you might as well – I mean, at least – it would be dope if somehow the G League Ignite won this thing, right? It would be like a thing. Or if, like, you know, Denver come in and play some team from, like, Lithuania, take an L. Now it has a little bit more significance, but
– feel like FIBA.
Yeah. Now there's some new injection instead of just the same teams.
Those teams will come in care about them games for sure.
Oh, no question.
If Real Madrid got to play the Sacramento Kings, they will come in playing with their life on the line. Because if they get that win, that's huge for them.
Should we lay out – how this is actually going to work?
Yeah,
I mean, because I've read
the entire press release, and I still don't totally get it.
Yeah.
So I could not expect any.
Let me ask you this:
possibly know
at the end, does the winner get like an extra playoff game or something?
No,
$500,000 a person.
See, that
doesn't move the needle.
I would have imagined if you had won this and you lost the series. You know, the game four, but you get to cash this in. Like, nah, we get one more game because we won. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You got, you know, one more game on the road. Give it, you know what I'm saying? To stay alive. That could have made it fun, but just money? Like, I don't know about the
money. I agree. It also that gives the players incentives. It doesn't give anybody else. Should we run through this, though? Because it's more complicated than just, like, the playoffs where all the teams come in and you have a normal bracket and normal tournament and that's it, because it's during the regular season, and every game except for the championship game counts as a regular season game.
Break it down.
So it starts off in the knockout rounds. This is according to the release that the NBA put out. They're calling it the knockout round. So eight teams will advance to the knockout rounds. Before that, or I guess it starts out.
It starts with group play,
Group play.
November 3rd.
Right. Group play, November 3rd, where there are six different, basically, divisions. And the divisions, the West Group, the West Group B, the West Group C, the East Group A, the East Group B, and the East Group C, those groups are all determined by record in the previous season. And there's group play. Whoever does the best in group play moves on to the knockout rounds, which is eight teams. So you're winners of each group and two wild cards. The semifinals go on in December. December 7th, I believe, and the final is December 9th. It does not count as a regular season game. I wonder, by the way, if it doesn't count as a regular season game, and we constantly hear players don't want to load manage, but the teams tell them they have to load manage, the medical staffs tell them they have to load manage, why is the medical staff not going to advise any star to load manage the championship game, which doesn't count towards a regular season at all? Like, if the incentive is only for the player, why are they advising them not to load manage?
Especially if the team that's playing for a championship, like, might be in the running for a real championship.
Right.
It's like, yo, I'm not playing you for this.
What if the Clippers are playing for the NBA Cup in the finals, and Kawhi is there, and you don't want to add an extra game onto him, and you get him an extra day of rest, and you know,
and that's what I was going to say. The guys who we're talking about load management, those are the dudes who are not going to miss 500K, right? Like, Kawhi is like, I'm going to lose out on 500K. Oh, well, I'm going to be all right. I'm still making 35, 40 million this year. I'm going to be all right without that 500K. So, of course, the NBA wants their stars to play, but I don't know if 500K is going to be enough to motivate these dudes who are making 40 million.
Just for context, guys, rookie minimum salary right now, $953,000. That's the absolute bottom of the barrel. You know, vets, $2.7 million. Sure, for, like, relative minimum guys, you know, it's a check.
It's gonna matter for sure.
The other side of the pendulum is Damian Lillard, for example. We're tracking his situation right now. He's gonna make $63 million in a couple of years. Like the stars and the people that people want to see are not looking at that $500K.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. I'm just.
You're a hater, but you were wrong last time. You said
I was wrong last time. I've been wrong many times. I'm usually wrong.
My only counter, my attempt to counter, just is that the bar was so low on that time of the year in terms of interest, in terms of engaged audience. I always think back to the 2011 lockout and what I learned about, like, the kind of behind the scenes reality that the NBA never wanted to say out loud, which is that, like, everything before Christmas was, like, expendable in their minds. You know what I mean? Like, when they were holding out against the players, David Stern had looked at Christmas Day. He's like, well, the season actually begins on Christmas Day. So this, all these years later, is a way to, have it increase in value. The bar is pretty low. We even know when we write all these stories, October, November, the audience goes up. But we'll see how it goes.
I mean, think about it like this. They wanted to improve the dunk contest, get stars in the dunk contest, right? So you get, $1 million for winning the dunk contest? Yeah. And now you got, people who casual fans have never heard of doing the dunk contest.
You just going to disrespect Jericho Sims like that? Come on, man.
Sorry, Jericho.
Shaedon Sharpe had to work on the second half of the season, though.
Shaedon Sharpe is a rookie on a rookie scale deal, and he would have been spectacular. That dude.
I'm still mad.
That dude, by the way.
That.
He is going to be awesome.
Yeah, as soon as he's going to win every dunk contest he's in.
But I don't just mean a dunk contest. Like, he is going to be one hell of a player. He's going to be awesome. But, like, he's on rookie scale deal, and he pulls out of the dunk contest for twice as much money. Like, it's just you need something more than the money. I don't know. Like, and you need to make the fans care because ultimately that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get the fans to care. And by giving the players money, you're hoping, okay, if the players care – the fans will follow suit. I don't know. I just feel like there has to be something more tangible
stakes
to the team.
Yeah, more stakes.
Yeah.
Like you said,
if you win, you get 3 extra rest days. Yeah. So it gives you incentive not to rest.
Yeah, I'm with
Marcus. You get like a compensatory, the picks in between the first and second round. You get like
– players won't care about compensatory picks.
They won't.
That's
people coming in. You think LeBron is wearing a shirt that says F them picks and being like, oh, we're playing for the compensatory picks.
Forget LeBron. The rest of the guys, that's the dude to take his job.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure. And I'm with Marcus. If you're going to think outside the box, then really do something outside the box. Like, in season tournament, we got a 4-point line. We got a 15-second shot clock. If we're going to do outside the box, then let's really do outside the box. Why not?
Yeah, man, if you rank top 3 in the NCAA, you get to join this tournament.
Like that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, spice it up, man.
What's funny, guys?
Like, you get a ticket, man. I like that. Like, no matter where you are, you get an extra game. You pick it. You get an extra game. If you win this, if you out the playoffs, you get one more game to get in. If you lose the series, you go get out of Cancun free card. That's what it should be.
That's it.
I like that. I'm looking here, guys. This is a macro point of view. We sit here, and this is what we do in the media. Like, play-in tournament, we kind of rip it to shreds. Mid-season tournament, rip it to shreds. I have in front of me the NBA salary cap history over the course of the past 10 years. And for all the things that they do wrong, and this is something that is, I think, a main theme of this offseason and this summer and some of the other stuff we're going to get into, they're making money hand over fist. You know, the cap has gone from $70 million in 2015 to $136 million.
It's double.
It's double, and it's insane. Double. And a lot of these contracts we saw in free agency bear that out.
And it's almost 3X if you go 10 years, right? It's, 58 million in 2013.
Right, not 2010. It was a slow uptick until about 2015. Then, your Warriors obviously took advantage of that cap spike during the Kevin Durant era, and they were on their way. Point being that as it relates to the tournament, midseason tournament, that it's another way to make cash, and they're going to make a bunch of money. Vegas, as we know, well beyond the NBA, has become, one of the hottest cities out there to just continue to have events and make this thing a scene like they do.
Potential expansion teams.
Yeah, 100%. Down the road.
So hold on, they playing in Vegas?
The
championship.
The semifinals.
Last
finals.
Two rounds.
All right.
Yeah, last two rounds.
Like, whoa, wait a second. We going to Vegas for a regular season game?
on the later stage, it is media-wise, it's another thing to cover, where you got to actually kind of take a look at it, take it seriously, and figure out what you're going to do.
You do.
I don't know. The rise in salary cap, I get it. I understand it. But is it that proof you kind of don't need this? You know, they're not. Well, they're making money. Like we could, we talk about it all the time. But man, nobody's turning these games off. They're about to get another deal. Like
I ain't never heard nobody say they had enough money. That's
I was gonna say it's a reminder that it's never enough.
Too much money.
Yeah, but you know, greed could lead you to some poor decisions. Right,
for sure.
Right,
for sure.
Right. That's why your wallet hurting right now, huh? Right, right.
I thought we was leaving old stuff alone.
Look, I don't think it's like bad for the league that they're doing
It's not. Yeah.
Because it's not like they're saying, okay, these don't count towards the regular season. You know, they're playing regular season games as tournament games. So like on Tuesdays and Fridays, those are tournament nights. You're playing on a Tuesday or a Friday in November, those count towards the tournament. And that counts towards the group play that we were talking about as the first round.
Still extra juice.
So you're still playing it as a little something. So it's not even that I don't like it. Like, I didn't like the play-in tournament and was wrong. It's more that I don't understand why
the incentive
is to care.
Well, guess what? They could change it. I mean, Adam Silver has quickly, made it very clear, course of the past 6-7 years, that his tenure is going to be all about being outside the box. Like, that, you know, they could add incentive down the road. They'll see how it goes this year. I could see them spicing it up as they go.
Yeah.
They should make those games Elam endings.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Elam endings are always great in All-Star.
They are.
Right?
All right, gentlemen, before
except
we.
Every game except for one.
Yeah, you're kind of right.
the Elam ending saved the All-Star game for 1 year.
Yeah.
And then it went back to being.
It certainly didn't save this last one.
No.
All right, we're going to segue to the next storyline. But before we do, I'm going to yell at our super producer, Andrew Schlecht, here, because I'm having FOMO right now, guys. Victor Wembanyama is playing in his second game as we sit here talking. I need a report. Andrew, is Wemby looking good or not good today? Wemby's playing better. Okay. He not a bust? We shouldn't give up?
He's officially not a bust.
All right.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
I mean, we're in the middle of this thing here. We got Spurs playing Celtics as we speak. No, that's not. I'm looking at the
Wizards
wrong game.
Wizards playing the Celtics.
Sorry, that was the wrong screen. Let's talk offseason action. Mr. Thompson, you went to Jordan Poole's press conference. That is former Warrior Jordan Poole yesterday. And as we sit here talking about money and the different pay scales that have come with the cap rises, not too long ago, Jordan Poole signed a 4-year, $128 million deal with the Warriors. Not too long ago, he was a big part of their future as a guy who would come up behind Stephen Clay and be part of their two-timeline approach. That obviously came to an end with that trade to Washington, and he addressed the media for the first time the other day with Kyle Kuzma and talking about his Wizards life. Takeaways, perspective, how was that event?
It was not as, you know, pyro spectacular as I was hoping. Mm-hmm. I was hoping he had a diss track ready for Draymond Green, and he was like, yo, give me a beat, and just went in. You know what? I think Draymond might have liked that too, right? Like, Draymond would have went on his pot with a comeback.
He would have ran.
You know, they would have turned.
Would have been great for the ratings.
Oh, it would have been incredible.
He just would have been thrilled about the ratings.
I was just mostly curious about what he had to say, but I mean, he was all for it. You know, I'm writing about this, you know, for The Athletic. He's happy. You could tell, and it really pops compared to how he was over this last season, right? You could be like, oh, I remember this Jordan Poole, right? Like the kind of fun-loving, happy.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. You could tell, like, he's very happy. We tried to bait him. I absolutely tried. I'm like, come on, JP, you got to
I love the transparency. Look at you.
Like, yeah, like, come on, man. You know what we're trying to do? He's like, I hear you. I know what you're trying to do. I know what Anthony Slater's trying to do. We tried to get him to address Draymond. He just kept looking forward. You know, I don't know how long this happiness lasts and, you know, with this setup, but this is what he wanted. And I know a lot of people think it was Draymond, it was Draymond. That was one of the issues, but it wasn't the only issue. Jordan Poole proved to himself that he's a starting NBA player, but with the Warriors, he had no avenue to start. Mm-hmm. As long as there's Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, there was no avenue to start. He's waiting for an injury. He's waiting for something to happen. They can't go small because he's not, like, defensively stout to make that work. But now he finally gets unlimited minutes, unlimited shots. It's his team. And this is what he felt like he deserves. Let's see how he handles it, but this is what he wanted.
Don't tell Kyle Kuzma he's got unlimited shots.
Yeah, Kuz, we did ask Kuz about that. These two dudes are not bashful about their desires.
No,
right?
You know what? I honestly, like.
He was like, oh, yeah, I'm happy about that. Like,
there are dudes who want to take shots, and they will get frustrated with other guys who want to take shots. I feel like those guys are going to work together.
I agree. I also love, by the way, that the Wizards have become like the let them cook team. So,
oh, yeah.
Russell Westbrook is frustrated in Houston, not enjoying his James Harden life with all the sacrifices that came with his Rockets experience. Then we start hearing that Russ wants to get back to playing Russ. Hey, Scotty Brooks, bring me in, Wizards. Kuz and Jordan cut from the same cloth when it comes to scoring mentality. But I could see it working. You know, I don't know how many games they're going to win.
I was about to say, how you define it working?
Right.
I mean, they're not going to be good. But, like, people talk about the Wizards like they're disastrously bad. And they're not, like, they have NBA players. Daniel Gafford's a solid center. Denny Avdia is a good defender. Like, they have solid players on that roster still. Delon Wright is sneakily one of the better backup points in the league. Like, they've got a little something there.
And Daniel Gafford, the most underrated center in the league, with the initials DG.
Oh, wow. How long
is that? Hey, Daniel Gafford.
I was going to say, Kevon Looney is on line two.
Daniel Gafford's a good rim protector. He throws down lobs. You look at the advanced metrics on Gafford, and that dude blocks shots like crazy, protects the rim. His rim protection metrics are awesome.
Also, I think with this new CBA, it's something we haven't talked about as much, that 90% rule, where some of these teams at the bottom are going to be incentivized, like Indiana's incentivized to go sign Bruce Brown. The Rockets are incentivized to go sign Dylan Brooks and all of these guys. You're not just going to sit around and just not pay guys so you can be bad. You got to spend money. And some of these teams don't want to spend money. They want to be bad. But you got to if you want to get your salary cap dollars at the end of the day. The luxury tax dollars to kick back at you. You got to spend money. You got to bring in guys. So that's going to help you be better. That's going to prevent you from having these teams who are winning 15 games at the end of the year. Because you got to have a couple good players on your team. You got to have somebody you're spending money on. And that's going to be a pathway to have maybe 28 wins instead of 19 by the end of the season.
Can I say something?
I hated the salary floor rule that the league did. I don't understand why it was a priority for the Players Association to get the salary floor rule. The rule previously was that you had to be at 90%, you had to be at the salary floor, 90% of the salary cap, by the time the regular season ended. You had to be there. And if you weren't there, it's not like you just went the whole year, like, not just paying way less money. You then had to pay the difference between the salary floor and whatever your team payroll was to distribute amongst the players on your team. So you're still paying the money.
Though, right?
Yeah, evenly amongst players on your team.
Yeah, I'm sure some players are like, nah, you give him 10%, right. Give me that 90.
Right. But now, if you're not at the salary floor by the start of the season, then you have to pay the difference distributed evenly amongst the whole league, and it's distributed. So it's the same amount of money going to the players. It's just the start of the season versus the end of the season. And you just used up, like, a negotiation tactic in order to get the salary floor deadline basically pushed up. You're not getting any more money. It's not like teams that had a $7 payroll before were just only paying their players $7.
Some of these teams are also skirting that rule by, like, signing a dude from Europe in February just to eat up a little bit of the money that they had to spend. So a lot of times guys were looking across the locker room like, I would have made $4 million, but now you're here, so now I'm only going to get $2 million at the end of the season. Thanks, buddy, who's going to play like 12 minutes over the next 2 months.
That's totally true, except now when you're below the salary floor, it's distributed amongst like 9 million people. So you're going to get 27 cents, and you're going to go home, and you're going to Forget about it.
Fred, I love you. I've been in Vegas too long to be unpacking the CBA right now.
It's all I've done. This is all I've done.
I'm not here for it. I want to hear, Marcus, the other side of the Jordan Poole discussion. What is post-Jordan Poole life with the Warriors, with Mr. Chris Paul, not young but not done, coming to town?
Kumbaya. Everybody loves this.
It's wild. Before you answer this, and I've been saying this, I think it's so funny that, like, the idea of adding Chris Paul to the locker room is an upgrade in chemistry. Like, is there anybody that he doesn't have beef and history with in that locker room, but he's somehow an upgrade over the vibe with Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, that's automatic reference, though, as much as you can say about Chris Paul. You know, if he's got the ball, you're Jonathan Kuminga, and he tells you to cut, you're not clapping like, yo, pass me the ball so I can shoot. Like, yeah. You know, that's still Chris Paul, right? Like, it's still an OG. You know, I think the bigger upgrade isn't necessarily leadership. It's somebody – they just need another player who can have the ball in his hands and Steve Kerr not have a heart attack. Like, that's what they need. Yeah. That's what they had with Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston, even going back to Jarrett Jack with under Mark Jackson. Teams are going to double Steph. They're going to do it. You got to have somebody else who can have the ball. And Jordan Poole, as much as I love him – like, you just don't know what you're getting. It was like, you know, Will at the dice table last night. He was like, you know, it may hit, it may not, right? Like, especially this season. So I think they need that. They need, especially late in the game and playoffs, fourth quarter.
Hey, look who's on TV.
Can't bear it. Can't bear the turnover. Like, they feel good about putting the ball in Chris Paul's hands.
And you also want to be able to remain functional on offense because you know Steph's going to miss time, whether it be second night of back-to-backs. He ends up missing like
that's the problem,
so
though. You know Chris Paul going to miss time, right? Like, and what if those missed times coincide, right?
Like, I know. I love it. So CP is your load management solution?
But, I mean, but a lot of times when Steph was out and Jordan Poole was running the offense, there was a whole lot of everybody watching Jordan Poole. And with CP, you're going to move the ball the way you want to move
the ball. In baseball, they call them innings eaters, right? Sometimes you just need a dude to give you five innings, right? Yeah, Jordan Poole, one of the best innings eaters in basketball, right?
No doubt.
Clay out, Jordan like, yo, I got this. Because he was a starter who were just waiting for an opportunity to start. He play every game. He's going to play 30 minutes. He'll take the 25 shots. He'll be fine if he costs you the game. Like, right. He can handle it. He ain't going to fall apart. Like, he did that. And with as old as this team is, you need somebody to give you, all right, 20 games, it's yours.
Marcus is the only beat writer in history who came out here, decided to analyze the Jordan Poole trade by saying, you know what? He's basically LeVon Hernandez. That's where we're at.
I mean, basically, right? No, who's the guy? Come on, you know my guy. Yusmeiro Petit.
Yusmeiro Petit?
You're a Giants fan. How do you not know this?
Nah, I'm an old Giants fan.
Yeah, it's a good year. Spot starter, reliever.
Yeah.
Like, but he wasn't an innings either.
Yeah, no, because they
was
would
a reliever.
They would do the
spot
opener.
Start.
Yeah, they would do the opener, give him two, and then Petit got you for the next six. You good, right?
I feel bad for Sam.
A couple good years.
We went from talking salary cap to
I've lost control of this pod.
Oh, yeah.
Mint relief pitchers.
I'm down to just name some random relievers while we're at it.
Yusmeiro Petit's whip is unquestionable.
I'm over here drinking something that's not powerful enough.
I'm just trying to wonder about how Scott Ayer got a MVP vote in 2005.
You know what I'm saying?
That's all I'm trying to figure out.
You see what I got to deal with every week?
How did Scott Ayer get an MVP vote in 2005?
You can't tell me Walt Weiss was the 87th rookie of the year. Like, you can't.
He threw 68 innings as a setup guy. Had a 3.2 ERA, and he got
– Next segment, we're talking Mike Eldredi.
He got a 10th place MVP vote. It makes no sense.
All right, here's why I kind of love the Warriors move with CP. I'm going to pretend you guys are not even talking. I told Andre Iguodala this the other day. He made a visit to the California Classic, caught up with him a little bit. Like, and I'm biased because I'm in my 40s, right? I was like, Dre, I kind of love seeing the old heads just decide, we're going to do it our way, and we're going to go ahead and try to make this thing happen one last time and lean into it. Because it was so uncomfortable the last couple years with when you knew that Stephen Clay and Draymond, even before the punch, that they were – to a degree having to be political. Like, oh, Jordan's great and James is great and all these different guys. Like, I don't know if it's going to work, but I love that they wrote the script. We'll see if they can do it. It reminds me a little bit, and this is a cautionary tale, is the disastrous Lakers team of a couple years ago when LeBron was the one who wanted Russ and they tried to do that with LeBron and AD and Russ and it blew up in their face. But basketball-wise, do we think If they're healthy?
I thought you were going before that with Steve Nash to the Lakers.
Right.
Oh, boy.
That didn't work out.
Yeah.
But I think the interesting thing with this union with CP and the Warriors is the Warriors have had a whole lot of success playing their way, and CP has had a whole lot of success playing his way, and those ways are very different, right? It's a whole lot of CP on the ball, come set the pick for me. We're going to run the same play over and over again. And with the Warriors, it's all just spontaneous ball movement. We're running off screens. Steph's on the ball, Steph's on the ball. Klay's on the ball, Klay's off the ball. And we kind of just figure it out as we go. And with CP, he's constantly in control of every possession, where guys are standing on the court, who's setting picks for him. And he's just going to have to adapt to playing a much different way.
I don't think so, though.
No, he's going to be himself.
But I think they need that other level. Like,
you
the
gotta
game
have some
ain't
varies,
always.
Right?
Yeah, like, that's what happened to them. You know, they said they maxed out. I don't think they maxed out. Fourth quarter, close ball game, they got cooked by Lonnie Walker because they couldn't go back down and score because the Lakers are a good defense, and you can't just – you know, LeBron knows every play you run in. So you can't just rely on, oh, I hope he makes a mistake when I cut back there. Like, at some point, you need somebody to be like, yo, I got the ball, and you're not going to stop me. And if they double-team Steph Curry, they don't have anybody else who could do that. Now that's where you're like, all right, CP got this. The question is, when it's time to run, what do they do with CP? But I feel like this is one of the best point guards of all time. He'd figure it out.
Yeah, I think we also need to give Chris Paul more credit than that. That dude is so smart.
Oh, no question.
People said the same stuff when he went to Houston, was going to play with James Harden. How's he going to work? That first year in Houston, it was like magic. Those two guys were so good together figuring out how to play. I mean, my question more is, okay, so Chris Paul, let's say he's as good as he was this past season, maybe even a little bit better. Maybe he's closer to what he was in Phoenix a couple years ago when he was awesome. What's going to happen defensively? Because you mentioned,
can't play
okay,
pool
Jordan
CP,
Poole out yeah. there is a little different. Chris Paul's not... He's so smart, and he fights so hard, but he's not the defender that he was 10 years ago because he's almost 40, and he doesn't have the size. So now you got him and Steph and Klay out there, and Klay isn't what he used to be defensively either,
correct.
Even though he competes and he's smart, but he's not an all-defense caliber guy like he used to be. So now the question becomes, okay, you're going up against a team that has a couple of really good wings or a couple of a really good guard, really good wing, and now do you have to – bench Chris Paul for the end
that's,
of that game.
I mean, but look,
how are you going to figure it out?
Or you got to figure out the start. Chris Paul, I don't know how Chris Paul starts. How does he start?
There's no way he can start.
How does he start?
There's no way he can start.
I'm pretty sure he might be thinking he's starting. He might think he's starting, right? Yeah. Like
Jordan Poole thought.
Can we go
so
bigger
too?
Picture, though, too, beyond the defensive concerns? Like, take all the context of the history and what all of them have accomplished away, including Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Just in right now, 2023-24, today's NBA, the Western Conference. Like, is this a good team? Is this a top four team? Is this a title contender? What is this?
I mean, as long as you got Steph, Draymond, and Klay, you're going to be in it. You know, even if they're the sixth seed going into the playoffs, they're going to be dangerous once they get there because they know how to win. They know how to get it all together and figure it out. And we know Steph can always blow up at any moment when you need a win. So they're going to be dangerous whether CP figures it out or not just because those three guys just know how to win playoff games.
I feel like health is a huge factor. And I think this is one of, you know, you'd be like, oh, well, if any team, you could say if they're healthy. Yeah, that's
I'm
true.
I'm loving all your voices, by the way.
That's true, right? But, I mean, some teams are higher risk than the others, right? Clippers is like, yo, prove to me you can be healthy. I think health is a real concern with the Warriors. Like, they got about three or four guys who should not be playing 75 games, right? Like, you're asking for them to fail in the playoffs. And to me, I feel like their best players are good enough. But we all know that's not how you win a title, man. Like it's Christian Braun coming off the bench doing, you know what I'm saying? Like it's Bruce Brown. It's those. So to me, it depends on Moses Moody. It depends on Jonathan Kuminga. But the key is not even one of those guys. It's Wiggins. The reason they struggled because Wiggins was gone for like three quarters of the season, and when he did play, he was hurt, right? And you could see a different Wiggins in the playoffs. Like, he wasn't the Wiggins that won a title.
Nah,
they won a title because Wiggins was a monster. So, if Wiggins could get back to that, because you talk about who guard who, the answer to all of those questions is Wiggins.
Right.
Right? Like, who's going to guard Wiggins? Wiggins, maybe some Kuminga, and more Wiggins, right? And Draymond, obviously. But to me, the answer to the question is in the other dudes, right?
Sure.
Like, that's what it's going to be. Then you lose Dante DiVincenzo.
Yeah.
So now it's even more like, what will they have? How good will these guys be?
What's my man name? Pajimski was the rookie.
Pajimski. Yeah, Brandon Pajimski.
This year, too. Why not?
You think
Steve don't play rookies. Come on, man.
You think I'm glad you said that because I was going to ask you something. Kuminga's really talented, and he's had great moments. But I feel like he has never been in Steve Kerr's circle of trust. Like, even when he's playing well and he's out there, like, he, you know something's going to happen where he could potentially fall out. Does he get to a point this year where he just enters the circle
think,
of trust?
I don't think he got a choice. I think, you know, that was one of them little behind-the-scenes little tug-of-wars. Like, the management wanted them to play the youngsters more. Steve, like, yo. Steve and the veterans, like, man, we need people who can win. So they basically just got rid of everybody who could possibly
hey, sometimes good stuff comes out of it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like, I don't think he has a choice now.
When I was covering the Thunder, I think they wanted Alex Abrines to play some more. It's a shooter from Spain, and you know, good young player, good shooter. And Billy Donovan kept playing Anthony Morrow. Just kept playing Anthony Morrow. It was Morrow's last year in the season, the last season of his career. And at the trade deadline, guess who got traded? Anthony Morrow.
We're about here.
No choice but to play Alex Abrines.
Gentlemen, we got about a 3-4 minute window, and we've barely talked about the city that we're in, the actual hoop we're watching out here. I just need some Vegas observations, whether it's Will losing his backside at the table.
We ain't got to talk about that.
Whether it's Fred staying up too late or Marcus, you know, holding on to his soul. What do we think of Vegas? And we talking who? I mean, you know, Wemby had a tough debut. I don't know if you want to talk about him. Scoot, who got hurt, like just big takeaways from Scoot, Summer League.
Scoot is so fun to watch live.
Yeah.
What a blast it was to watch him live. His explosiveness and his control of the game.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Real point guard.
His control, when you watch a guy live, like, it just feels different when you watch it on TV, some guys. And watching him, also, like, that dude is not built like a teenager. It's crazy. But his control of the game, the pace that he plays with, his change of speeds. Like, most young guys who are explosive and athletic, they just have a fastball, right?
99% of them.
They're Nuke LaLoosh, right? They just try to chuck it in.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's it. Like Scott Air before he got an MVP.
And then the other guys are like, you know, Jamie Moyer or Barry Zito. They don't have no fastball.
Yeah,
just all off speed.
Like 08 Mike Mussino finally won 20 games. You know, like, you know, he just did it with 84 mile an hour fastball and his changeup, his knuckle curve, and he was good. But like, Scoot changes speeds. Like, I don't know. I had a blast watching
him. Almost like they should trade their other point guard. You know, it's just an idea.
It's possibly.
Now the guy,
I wonder if that's what happened. Did Dame see him be like, yeah, this dude.
Draft a franchise point guard.
This is squad.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But the guy, I think for me, Summer League, obviously we all here to see the rookies, but I think for me, I come to Summer League every year even more excited about seeing the guys who make that jump from year one to year two. And a dude I just finished watching, Jabari Smith. He looks like a completely different player now. His confidence is through the roof.
He might be the best player on Houston.
He muscled up now. He's driving to the lane, bouncing off of people. He's going to be a completely different type of player for Houston. And we know they want to be a whole different team now with Dylan Brooks, Fred VanVleet, Jeff Green. They want to be competitive. And, you know, the big question for them this year is kind of similar to Golden State. How much do we play our vets? How much do we play our young guys? And Jabari Smith, I think, has proven he's going to be a dude they got to play because he's going to bring value on both sides.
I'm excited to see a lot of their guys because I think Ime's a really good coach.
Yeah.
And the last time he was a coach, he was in the NBA Finals. You know what I mean? Like, you have kind of a taste of that. And is he going to develop? Of course. But he's going to want to compete. And he's got those vets. You know, I think a lot of their guys could take a jump.
Your guy's sharp, too. He looks like he's got, all right, I'm playing. I'm ready.
Portland's got something.
But that's what you want to see in Summer League, right? You want to see a second-year player come in. It's like, all right, kids.
Yeah.
I got this. Like Keegan Murray. It's like, Keegan Murray is like, goodness. All right, man, have a seat, man. Now you just show it out. You're like playing CYO.
Yeah,
there's
always a tradition where people get really angry. They're like, he's too good for Summer League.
Yeah, he should.
Like, I remember when Jordan Clarkson was too good for Summer League. He's too good. Sit down, Jordan Clarkson.
Get out
he
of here,
is
man.
Too good for Summer League.
We
he's ruining it for everybody. Exactly.
Like
this is too much. It's too much. So get him out of here. Yeah, I mean, Shaedon Sharpe looks really good. I don't know. If they can get a big haul back for Dame, which has got to be possible, and you go forward with Simons, who's a hell of a shooter and a scorer, and is still really young, and you got Scoot, and you got Sharp, and whatever you get back for Dame.
Jeremy Grant.
Who has a player option in year five. Good for Jeremy Grant.
Shout out to Jeremy Grant. Keep getting them checks.
Jeremy Grant.
Gentlemen.
That's the future.
Keep getting them checks too. Appreciate you guys for coming on. Appreciate
we get checks for this?
The viewers and the listeners.
Checks at?
Same check.
Give it to me in chips.
Name check.
You're done, buddy. You've done enough work. Save the rest of Arizona. Chopatulas.
Appreciate you all, and stay tuned. Thanks for joining us.